this week marked my 20th anniversary here, so that was my first basketball team. So Rich Wells is going to talk with us on the turn back the clock a little bit. I guess the first thing is the first memory I have from that year, as much as anything, is that was a really good Vandals team, but everybody was good that year.
Oh, it was amazing that year, Todd. We ended up, I have various records. It says we're either 18-11 or 17-12, depending on where I look on that year. And I can't remember exactly. There was a team, there was a game or something. I can't remember.
Carlinville had an ineligible player.
There you go.
That's what it was. Yeah. So it's like, and I remember you and I talking about that, and we never could get a definition on whether that counted or not. Yeah.
Right. But we did not lose to a team that did not win 20 games that year, and throughout the conference, from Litchfield to Staunton to, you know, during those years, and Pena got second in state. But there was just so many. South Central was loaded as well. I mean, there were so many good teams throughout our schedule. And so it was a very fun year. It was a very intense year, but it sure does seem like a long time ago.
It does, and I remember a three-game stretch. We went multiple overtimes at Pena and had a shot at the buzzer and lost. Did the same thing at South Central and did the same thing against a 20-plus win Carlisle team in succession, those three games. You remember that?
Yes, I do. And like you said, Pena was got second in state that year, played them to triple overtime at their place, which is almost impossible to win, or it used to be almost impossible to win years ago. Played a great game and just came up a little bit short. It lasted forever, but it seemed like neither team wanted to lose. Carlisle was in one of their consistent runs that they have where they just, you know, reload. And South Central had Stork and a variety of kids that just could play ball, and they won a regional. And Mark Lewis had a shot that we set up on the ball screen out of Carolina and had a great look, and it just rimmed off, and we lost that one at the buzzer. So, but they were all great games. Things that came out on the short end, but it definitely helped us down the road to win a regional, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, it didn't lose to a team that didn't win 20 that year, and not only win 20, but, I mean, so many of the teams in the conference. And that's another thing I remember is the Vandals won at Staunton, which they won, I think, 24 games that year.
Yeah.
Litchfield was loaded. I mean, everybody was just really, really good, and not just good, like you said, with Pena. They finished second in state. South Central, that might have been the best team they had. They lost in the sectional final to St. Anthony, but not just good. Everybody was almost like the best they're going to be in 20 years good.
Well, and that's like even Litchfield had Griffin and McGraw that played. And sometimes, you know, you have to do some investigative questioning to people, and, you know, well, how do you know that the people you played were good? And how do we know that that tournament was better 20 years ago? Well, some of the things, like you just mentioned, teams that got to, you know, we know it was a good season for everybody because teams went on. Pena got second in state. That's proof. South Central got to the sectional championship. That's proof. So many teams won 20 games. There was college players from, over at Staunton. Pfeiffer went to Evansville and played, and McGraw went to played college ball, and Griffin played college ball, and so forth. So, you know, there is some validity to saying that was a pretty good year because teams went on and had big success. Everybody didn't lose in the first round of the regional, or there wasn't any college players in our league. I mean, those things all were true and in fruition. And we had kids that went to college. Ben Willenberg went to Kaskaskia, and John Carroll went on to McKendree and played college ball. So, you know, we had kids that went on to play college ball. So it was a very good league and a very good schedule that we played at that time.
Talking about the Vandals that year, I thought that was when it came to a group, and you had a big group of seniors that year, but that was a pretty unselfish group because there were no dominant scorers in that group. They were just all pretty solid players and pretty solid athletes, but there wasn't that one, you know, that one guy, that go-to guy or anything like that. It was a pretty balanced group of guys.
Yeah, it was for sure, Todd. And when you and I talked and you said, you know, we were going to do this piece, I jotted some things down about this group that came to mind, and you know this as well as I, one of the things is they were positionless. I mean, we didn't have Anybody that was the number one scorer all the time, John Carroll and Ben Willenberg scored, were normal. But Joel Brinkman could throw in a 25 spot. Will Conrad could as well. Tim Witten and Mark Lewis were seniors. Josh Roberts made the all-tournament team at Litchfield and was our seventh man off the bench. And he did start some, but he scored 26, I think, against Hillsboro the first game of the Litchfield tournament. And then Corey Fenton and Ben Schumacher, bless their hearts, they could both play, were good ball players, but we just ran out of time with that group. And who would have ever thought, you know, nowadays, if you saw nine seniors on a team, it would be amazing. But those kids pulled it off and were a really, really excellent senior group to lead our program.
Yeah, they sure were. And like you said, they were pretty positionless. I mean, you know, some of the guys were a little taller, but for the most part, they were pretty close in height and athleticism. And defensively, that's one of the best teams that the Vandals have had in a long time.
Yeah, exactly. You kind of got me tongue-tied for a minute, but I mean, they could go 1-2-2, full court, half court, three quarter court. They could play man to man. They could switch. They were had just a good feel for the game. They played a lot of open gym. Todd, that group did, and it's like our most successful groups. When you look at how they went through their careers, there's some several things that are consistent with, you know, putting time in. These kids put a lot of time in. In the off season, they played open gyms. They played in the morning. That would match up the same as with the Eric Hobby groups. Josh Rims and Zach Schaefer were freshmen with this group, and they, you know, followed the same path and had success. And so a lot of those traits were consistent amongst our really good groups through the years. I can remember in this group the first time we took them to team camp, back when team camp was a big deal, and we were Vincennes. And they were freshmen, and Coach Rademacher was with us at the time, and he had that group, and he says, hey, you need to come watch this group. I said, well, what do you mean I need to come watch them? He goes, they play basketball like hockey. I said, well, what do you mean? He said, they dump and chase. They throw it to the rim and go chase it and throw it again. And eventually it goes in enough times that we win. But he said, they are all over the place. They don't have a great shooter. They don't, you know, but they just throw it up at the rim and go get it. And sure enough, I went and watched them, and you know, you understand that because you're a hockey guy, and that's the way they played. But boy, they were successful doing it.
Yeah, they sure were, and it was a fun group to watch because of that. Because they were very balanced, and you know, I remember one thing that sticks out in my mind, and I'm sure you'll remember this. But Ben Willenborg is what I remember is he was having a little trouble with his left hand shooting free throws, so he didn't care. He just shot them one handed there for a while. I remember that. I don't know if you remember that or not, but
yeah, I do exactly because it helped him, you know, because again, it goes back to the shooting thing. Ben could score, wasn't a great shooter, but we had to take his left hand off, and he wasn't embarrassed because it gave him a chance to go in. And I went back to that later on with my own son, Kelly, that we tried. He did that as well for a while because it was just too much left hand and it gave him a consistent point, but Ben did it. Another thing that you may not have known this, I used to always tell Will Conrad was a 54% shooter from the free throw line. Again, he's a kid that could score, but he wasn't a great shooter. And I always would say, now, Will, if you're going to play at the end of the game, you have got to make free throws. You know, people will foul low percentage free throw shooters, and we play a ton of tight games, and you've got to be able to make free throws. Well, and he told me, he said, Coach, when it's time to make them, I'll make them. I'm like, Will, you know, Will's a lawyer now and a successful young man. I'm like, Will, you can't give me that malarkey. You know, I need you to make them all as many times you can, not just when we need you. Well, we get in the regional championship, and it's down the wire in the fourth quarter, and he gets fouled, gets to the line, and I'm my heart's jumping on my chest. And it's like, oh, no. I was like, come on, Will, you know. And he just steps up calmly, bang, bang, puts them in. And he tells me later on, he goes, I don't know why you were worried. I told you when I needed to make them, I'm making them. And sure enough, he did. And it, you know, it you laugh about it now, but at the time, it scared me to death.
Absolutely. You know, talk about that too. And I know at that point, it had been a while since the Vandals had won a regional. You'd had a lot of near misses and things like that, some good teams, but just couldn't quite get over the hump. And I know that was kind of in the back of your mind too, wasn't it?
It was for sure. And these kids, John Carroll played, he and Ben played, and Joel Brinkman played quite a bit as younger players. And when they were sophomores, we got beaten in the regional championship at Altamont and had two shots at the buzzer to win. We took a shot, got our own rebound and kicked it out and had another shot and came up short in the regional championship. And like I said, had a look to win the year after that. We lost to the best Ramsey team ever and we missed a point blank layup to win. And sometimes the ball just doesn't bounce your way, but this time, and I was listening to the end of you, and I remember you because you were young and so forth, but yet you were polished, and listening to that is John Carroll and Trenton Smith in the corner trying to, you know, and it's like, just get the game over with, block and run, just
run out.
And another unique thing about that was traditionally Vandalia hosted the sectionals. You know, throughout the years, it was Vandalia and sometimes Woodruff or Wood. We had the biggest gyms, the nicest gyms. And then when they changed, when things changed and they redid some things, we hosted the regional that year, the first time ever that we had hosted the regional. And so that was definitely an advantage because our fans were there on the court. You know, later on when Josh and Zach were seniors, you know, we hosted the regional against Lawrenceville and came back, or it was modern day, or Lawrenceville is one of the two, but we played at home. And so, you know, the home court is an advantage. And, you know, sometimes that's the difference in a 2 or 3 point game is all you need.
Yeah. And think about the easy one that you can think of there is you're playing Altamont, who has been a regional host a million times. If that game's at Altamont, it might be a different situation.
Exactly. And we played a really, really good St. Elmo team the first game.
Yep.
And St. Elmo had hosted the regional as well. I know my first year when Brian Kern and Matt Baker and Kevin Sarathwaite and that group played, you know, we played, had to go to St. Elmo to play and won a regional there. So, you know, both those games, if they're on a different court, it can change things. And so,
we always talk about looking back and things like that. That group now is, you know, well, they're 36, 37 years old. So, man, that makes you feel old, doesn't it? So a lot of those guys, like you said, they're successful. They're grown. They've got kids of their own. They're married. They got families. And, you know, that's a pretty successful group of guys too.
It sure is. And, you know, our juniors that year, I mentioned the seniors, our juniors that year were Tim Rickman and Scotty Varagy, who have done very well. Marcus DePue and Clint Robbins were the sophomores, and then Tyler Burns was the other freshman, with Zach Schaefer and Josh Reams. But a lot of those kids have had success. And as you've talked to guys on Turn Back the Clock, you know, so many of those guys, it translates from success, you know, athletically to success in life because, you know, it's so much work ethic and get up and get to the weight room at 5:30, 5:45, 6 o'clock and, you know, do multiple sports at different times and you have to be disciplined. Plus you have to get your grades. You have to be focused academically. So those kids that are involved in multiple things and still work hard at it, that stuff carries over and it is really important for kids and for groups like that. And, you know, I unfortunately saw a lot of these kids in the fall when Tim Torbeck, Tim was involved with that group and was a big basketball follower. And I saw a lot of those kids, a lot of those senior kids together, in a tough situation, but, they've remained friends and close knit group. And, I saw it once again at Tim Torbeck's visitation and funeral. And it was a tough time to do it, but those kids were all there for each other and so forth, and that stuff really means a lot.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's the other unfortunate about getting older is that's bound to happen too, and we've all been through that with as you get older. And you know, you said I was young there. That was funny because I'm not that old, am I? Well, I don't know, when I listen to some of those cuts, I feel pretty old. My voice feels old, I'll put it that way.
No, you were young then, and I remember you stepping in and it's like, you know, we've got a guy of quality here and we were excited and I would have never guessed you've made this a home, but you've been here for a long time. And when you said 20 years, when you look back on it, it's like, yeah, you have been here a long time. Time sure has flown though. It seems like, you know, the days are long, but the years are fast.
Yeah, absolutely. It does. You think back pretty quickly. But that group was a lot of fun. And like you said, one of the fun things about it was everybody else was so good and you played so many close games. And, you know, I remember watching Pena at the state tournament, and they finally met up with a Pinckneyville team that was just unbelievably loaded in that state championship. But just watching them and thinking, yeah, I've seen them do this before. And, you know, Pinkston went nuts, I think, in the semifinal and hit a bunch of shots. And, but that group was just so impressive. That South Central group was the same way. They were just so good. And, you know, getting to see those teams. We played Nokomis that year. I remember they were loaded, like always. Yeah. Really
played
good.
Played them in the third and fourth place game at Litchfield. And,
yes.
You know, one of the things, you know, you're talking about Payne and South Central, and they were loaded. But, you know, our kids could match up with the Jake Sinclairs and the Chad Storks. And our kids weren't scared. I mean, that was one thing with our group. You know, we might not have been the most talented group, but our kids weren't scared, and they felt like as a group we could go. And it's kind of nice to, you know, to watch a team that you play get to the state tournament. It's a little bit disheartening sometimes because you think, man, with a break here or there, you know, we ran into a big time modern day team in the sectional that was just huge. And, you know, they busted out on us early at modern day, and our kids came back and made the game real close in the third quarter. And then they kind of got on a run to finish it up. And, you know, Columbia was the other team in that who we had played
yep.
at Litchfield. And the fourth team in there was Wood River, who was like the lower third of our conference, and they were the fourth team in our sectional.
And they had a Division I athlete in Travis Williams.
Football player.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there again, that's proof that, you know, there were some pretty good players and pretty good teams. But, you know, Columbia got to the state, and we had played them that year. And they were probably, out of all the teams we played, they in modern day were the toughest matchups just because Columbia just was so athletic and had a big, big, big kid. And modern day had a couple big kids. And that was just, if we couldn't get them in a press and in a situation to turn them over, you know, the game got a little bit harder for us. And they had enough size and enough guard play that we just could not continue to turn them over enough to beat them at the end. But our kids weren't scared, that's for sure.
You know, we always, as you get older, you hate to become that guy that says, well, it was better when. It was better back in the day, and so on and so forth. But unfortunately, with high school basketball, it kind of was. I hate to say that, but the competition level, I think, has knocked down a notch. I don't know if you feel that too, but I kind of feel like teams just aren't quite as good. I don't know if they just don't get as many kids, they don't play as many good teams, I'm not sure, but it doesn't seem quite the same as it was during that time.
No, and that's, I think, one of the things, Todd, as you look through it, and our holiday tournament's an indicator of this a little bit, is there was a long stretch there where teams that were in our holiday tournament would get to super sectionals and get to the state tournament, and there was all state kids and kids going to Eastern to play and kids going to Illinois State. And stuff like that coming out of our tournaments, you know, the Westlands and the Shelbyvilles and the Floras and the Vandalias and the South Centrals and Painas and so forth. And now, you know, as you look at our tournament, we don't have teams getting to the super sectional very often out of our tournament anymore, or getting to a state tournament, or we don't have a lot of Division I players. Now, there's a few college kids sprinkled in there, but just like you said, it's just not quite where it used to be at, and you know, it is what it is, and you know, you can only do what you can and play who you can and so forth. But I would 100% agree with you on that a little bit. It makes me feel like Grandpa Well a little bit, because my grandpa always said everything was bigger and better.
Right.
And here I am saying the same thing.
I think the four class system's got a little bit to do with it too. It's just my opinion. One, it's harder. You know, it's harder to win a regional now than it used to be. And I do think the four, I hate to say that, and you and I are both small school guys, but it does seem to have taken a little bit of life out of it for whatever reason. It ever since the four class system came in, it does seem like it took a little juice out of the high school game.
Well, it has, and people don't, you know, now everybody's driving an hour and 10 minutes for a regional game. And it used to be that worst case scenario, you're driving a half an hour. And everybody waited for that time of year because you knew you were going to see your cousins and your neighbors and your friends, and it was for bragging rights. And, you know, you may have had a tough year, but man, if you could put together a 3-game stretch in a regional, you could sure turn the world upside down and so forth. And, It's just different now. And I agree with you on the four class. I mean, you go to the state tournament and there's just not the people there and the common public who used to go that had no vested interest, they don't show up anymore. And, unfortunately, our kids and the kids going through school now don't get to experience that. I mean, the day and age of a full gym, I don't know if it's ever going to come back.
Yeah.
You know, I know that back when you were in school down in your area, when you played, Gallatin County and when you played those kinds of people, it was a packed house and,
yep.
and it was for bragging rights. And whether you had a good year or a bad year, I mean, it was people came and it's just different now. And unfortunately, our kids don't get to, experience that type of situation, but it doesn't mean they can't learn great life lessons from playing ball and so forth. And, it's just different.
I'll throw out one from my growing up that I remember. The state tournament for us was, you know, it was in Champaign, which, you know, for us meant it was in Canada. We didn't know where that was, you know, anything north of Mount Vernon. We weren't sure. We assumed that was Canada. And I'm telling that story, and I know that's how we felt as kids, because we used to go to Wayne City for our Christmas tournament, and it's like, wow, we turned and went east of Mount Vernon. We didn't know there was state there, but the big deal for us was the Super Sectional at SIU Arena. And I remember we got so many tickets per school, and I remember going, and it's like, oh, we got the tickets today, and we would wait in line to buy the tickets to make sure we got tickets to see the 1A Super Sectional game over at SIU Arena. That was kind of our big thing. And I just remember what a big deal that was. Well, it can't be as big a deal now because they play two games in a night. You know, it just took away some of that big time atmosphere that we've
local
had in the
pride.
Past. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And unfortunately,
yeah,
I know the decision on the four class system was meant to be a good thing. And I know it has been in a lot of ways, and I'm hoping maybe this change that they're going to next year will help with four championship games all on Saturday. So, you know, I think we'd all like to see it get back where it was or at least close to it again. So.
Right, it's time for a change, and they tried the four. I mean, they made the change. It didn't, you know, the first year or two when it was, I think it was Shelbyville Modern Day. We kind of had some excitement in Peoria, but you know, it sure waned since then. And like you said, they've made some changes, and hopefully, it'll bring some life back into it. But the local grudge game, the local pride games, just aren't quite there anymore. The other thing is, you get to the state tournament, there's teams there that there's nobody representing your area.
Yeah.
And it used to be there was always a team. There was always a team that, you know, whether you're from Vandalia or Crab or whatever, there was a team that's coming out of the South or the East or the Central East or whatever that you could say, hey, we're rooting for this team. You know,
yep.
We're pulling for them to win. And, you know, now you get there and there may not be nobody within 4 hours of your location that's in the state tournament that you even know. And it's like, who am I rooting for here? You know, and it's just like you sit on your thumb, but you know, they have the experience there. Let's get that in there so kids can not watch the game and go shoot 5,000 three pointers while everybody else should be watching the game. But that's another soapbox.